It's a glass ceiling. Glass ceiling. Hard facts. Hard facts.
If it's a Wednesday, it's 4 o'clock. You take a look at your dial and it's 99.3. You're going to be listening to The Glass Ceiling. On The Glass Ceiling, we take a look at all the different barriers that women face while trying to get through life. You know, face at work, face in business, face at home, face in the society in general. All of these barriers stand in the way of women achieving equality with men. So this show is supposed to show you all the different problems that arise because we inherently do not believe that women are equal to men, or we do not treat women as equal to men. And we very simply should. We should. That we don't doesn't mean that we shouldn't, because we should. So that's where we start from. And then we now walk our way back to, well, why do we not believe that? Where does it come from? How do we solve that problem? How do we do this? How do we fix this? How do we change the minds of people? And that's what we do every Wednesday on this show at 4 o'clock. Now, for the past few weeks, my question to you has been, what happens when a woman is the breadwinner? How do things change when the wife is the one making more money or making all the money? Why do things change? Is it because of the wife? Is it because of the husband? Is it because of both? Is it because of external pressures and external expectations? In my usual fashion, before we go further, let me play you some calls from last week. Hello, Judith. Thank you very much for calling us.
I want to just say something about this whole thing. Because I think it's this culture of inferiority.
Okay.
Because the world feels that women are inferior. So nothing good should come from them. They are meant to be the weaker vessel.
Okay.
So if they are threatened by the fact that if a woman begins to make more money than her husband, that she will begin to overrule or override the husband,
okay,
which is not true.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Okay.
Because the men, they do worse things.
Okay.
So they are afraid that the things that they do will come back to them.
Okay.
And that is why they are afraid. There are a lot of women that are submissive to their husband even when they are making more money.
Okay.
But it's the action of the man that drives them crazy.
Okay.
I'm a testimony.
Okay.
Of what I'm saying today.
Do you want to tell me your story? Do you want to tell me your story?
Okay. When I was married, I was making more money.
Okay.
Because my husband practically wanted me to do everything.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay.
And then at a point, I started getting agitated. Why? Because it's not supposed to be so.
When you say everything, what do you mean?
Take care of everything. Pay the rent. Get the house. Provide food, everything.
Okay.
And which was not supposed to be so.
Okay.
But at a point, he wanted to just cage me, suppress me, not allow me to do anything. If I go out to work and I get money, he expects that I submit all the money. And if I don't do that, it becomes a trouble.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay.
And which is all right. So a lot of women are being suppressed.
Okay.
Many women are dying today as a result of the action they got from their husband.
Now, can I ask you a question? You know, when men are the breadwinners, they often do all of the things that you probably did when you were the provider. So they were paying the school fees and the rent and all of that. And, you know, nobody's saying, don't do it alone by yourself, you know.
Yeah.
So if we are expecting women to not be treated as inferior, should women complain if they allow them to do all of that?
Most times don't complain.
Okay.
That's the truth. It's just that the men sometimes they're afraid.
Oh.
They're afraid. They don't know what to expect. So many times they want the woman to come under. And which is not right. So a lot of men have not given their wives opportunity to be a helpmeet. Remember, the Bible called them helpmeets.
Okay.
So they always feel that the woman should be under, should be, because they are inferior.
Right.
That's how they feel.
Right.
And which is not so. We're meant to complement each other. A lot of women today, that's their vision, that's their objective. when they walk, they want to compliment their husband.
Can I ask Judith? When you were making the money and footing all the bills, was he doing the housework? Was he taking care of the house and the children?
That I cannot answer right now because we do everything together.
Oh, I see. Okay, Judith, thank you very much for calling. You know, I really love having these conversations with you because it's quite an eye-opener, right? We've talked about some of the factors that lead to problems when women are the breadwinner. And what I want us to do this week is come up with possible solutions for these issues. So lots of my callers have said, no, it's the ego. Doesn't matter how humble I try to be. Doesn't matter this or that or that. They still treat me like I've done something wrong simply because I'm earning more or I'm the one footing all the bills or I'm footing majority of the bills. There's no winning. That's the account I've gotten from the women who have called into this show. Now, in an ideal world, either the husband or the wife can be the breadwinner. And it won't be a big deal. Whichever one that is not the breadwinner will not feel less than or feel like their manhood or their womanhood is in question. And whichever one that is the breadwinner wouldn't feel like they are God. They wouldn't lord it over their partner, whether they are a woman or a man, in an ideal world. Also, in that ideal world, the rest of society wouldn't just pass judgment on a couple based on who is making more money or who is working outside the home or who is working in the home. Notice that I said who is working in the home. I did not say housewife or house husband. Who is working in the home? Take it from anybody who has ever had to take care of children, cook every day, figure out what to cook morning, afternoon, night, do the house chores, make sure that everything is running smoothly at home. It is a lot of work. So those who are working outside the home, those who are working in the home, in an ideal world, the rest of society wouldn't pass judgment on the couple based on who is doing what. People would simply respect the decisions and situations of that family. So for me, what I want us to do between now and 5 p.m. is to answer this question. If we want to create that ideal world, what needs to change? Now, the glass ceiling has an opinion on what the ideal world looks like. Today's episode is not about debating whether or not women can be breadwinners. If you call to debate that, you're taking us back. I'll move on from you. Today's episode is not about whether the man is the head or the woman is the head. Here on the glass ceiling, on this show, we believe that husband and wife are equal. If you call to debate that, you're taking us back. I will move on from you. Today, we're talking about how we can make the world more accepting of a situation where wives are breadwinners. How do we make wives handle that role without demeaning and ridiculing their husbands? How do we make husbands handle the situation without lashing out against their wives and finding fault in everything or letting their egos be shattered? How do we make society understand that this is not something to mock a man over? One of my callers from last week said that women must be the ones who lead this change. I had a conversation, I think it was Daniel. Hold on, let me find that call and let me play it for you. Daniel called last week and he said very interesting things. Daniel in Yaba, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Fine, thank you. I think the issue at hand boils down to some kind of psychological rule.
Okay.
If you ask many of the single ladies today, how many of them will agree to marry a man who told them from the beginning that, I'm not doing anything. I know you are working. Let's be married. You'll be the breadwinner. How many of them will be? We say yes. That they have found somebody. Because psychologically, they expect that the man should be responsible. I won't use the word being responsible. We are not saying anything more than at least economically be responsible.
Okay.
So, no woman, even if they get into the marriage and something happens, will be happy taking care of the whole responsibility, paying the fees, paying the school fees, paying the bills, feeding them. No woman. It becomes news when a woman is doing that because it is not the right thing. A woman should be a helpmate. Even from the Bible, God did not say, I'm creating your provider for you. He said, I'm creating a helpmate for you. So when a woman takes that role, automatically, there is problem somehow. It may be in woman's psychology or in the man's psychology or in the family arrangement. There will just be a challenge somewhere somehow because...
Now, I'm glad you're saying that it's psychology, and I will concede that a lot of single women today may not want to marry men who are not working. Now, where do you think that psychology comes from?
I use the word psychology.
Where do you think it comes from?
Okay, I want to say something. I use the word psychology to actually dodge saying it's cultural, religious, and traditional rules.
Okay.
I mostly use the word psychology just to be neutral. But actually, everybody comes from a culture, a tradition, or a religion, whichever one. Do you understand? And then education to come in. Now, if you look at prevailing culture, tradition, religion, or whatever, they support that a man should play the role of being economically responsible.
Yes.
So people grew up expecting that.
You know, yes, but also, if you look statistically, men are more likely to die before women, and that's because of the sheer amount of responsibility that men have to shoulder, especially financially. The sheer expectation from society, and by society I mean you, me, their wives, their mothers, their fathers, everybody. So imagine that we are a people who actually believe that man is made for culture, right? Sorry, culture is made for man, not man for culture, right? Imagine that we're a people who believe that, and we're people who say, okay, this thing has been like this for a while, but there are also things that have been like that for a while, and we have agreed, okay, this is not serving us anymore, let's do away with it. The same way Igbo people will say, if you're Igbo, I don't know if you're Igbo, but
Igbo.
Igbo people have a saying that if a god starts to misbehave, we'll show the god the tree that it was carved from. Do you understand? So, you know, so email you are a tufogi, I try another god. You understand what I mean? So that means that if a culture is not serving you anymore, is it not upon you, the logical mammal, to say, okay, how do we tweak this thing so that it works for both the man and the woman? So that we get to a point where the conversation on radio is no longer single girls will be hesitant to marry men that are not working. The conversation will now be about maybe, my husband is a house husband, but you know, the kids are not used to me anymore. They're more used to my... Like, the conversation will move forward. It will not be, like, at this very basic place. I don't know. What do you think, Daniel?
Yeah, what I think is this, like, there's something you said earlier in the program. You said men 40 and below. I'm below 40, rather. Let me just... You understand me?
Okay.
You say men 40 and below may be readily, you know, or readily agree to having women share the responsibility or even being the breadwinner. You understand me? Now, one thing you should understand is that that conversation or that opinion should not come from a man.
Okay.
If men or a man suggests that, see, I'm tired of this cultural role or traditional or whatever role, sha. I come and do. Don't start seeing the man as being irresponsible or trying to dodge his responsibility.
I agree
or something.
With you.
But if the conversation comes from the women, Let's say the women come up now to say, okay, in education, primary school, in secondary school, we want to teach these things. In our churches, in our mosques, we want to teach these things. At home, we want to teach these things. You know, if women themselves leave the first line in that, it will be easier to achieve it. But if a man or men want to leave that, they will begin to see them as trying to dodge, trying to become irresponsible, or in fact, they might even lose their respect at home. In fact, if a man goes to church and begin to say, God, this a woman should can be the breadwinner, he can pay school fees. But if he comes home, the wife
will drag her for years, say, now, wow, why are you going to disgrace me outside like that?
So this was last week between me and Daniel, and I wonder if you agree with him. He said, if men start saying they don't mind being stay-at-home husbands while their wives work, women will call them lazy and ridicule them. So he believes that for that to happen, women must be the ones who convince men that it's okay. Do you agree? Because on the other hand, you have lots of people who say when it comes to issues like this, men only listen to their fellow men. It's their fellow men whose judgment they respect. They don't want to fall hand in front of their fellow guys. So do you think that it should be men preaching this gospel to other men? That you're not less of a man because your wife makes more money or makes all the money. Let's start there. Remember I said today's conversation is solution. The opinion of the glass ceiling is that in a marriage, a woman and her husband are equal. That's what the glass ceiling says. In an ideal world, I've shown you what that looks like. Today's episode is not about debating whether or not women can be breadwinners. If you call to debate that, you're taking us back. I'll move on from you. Today's episode is not about whether the man is the head or the woman is the head. On the glass ceiling, we believe that the husband and the wife are equal. If you don't believe that, it's okay to not call me. Because if you call to debate that, you're taking us back. I will move on from you. Today, we're talking about how we can make the world more accepting of a situation where wives are the breadwinners. How do we make wives handle that role without demeaning and ridiculing their husbands? How do we make husbands handle the situation without lashing out against their wives, finding fault in everything, or letting their egos be shattered? How do we make society understand that this is not something to mock a man over? If we want to get the glass ceiling's ideal world when it comes to breadwinning in marriage, who has to lead that campaign? Is it women or men? What should that campaign look like? Is it parents talking to their children, teaching them that either gender can be the breadwinner, either gender can be the one making less money, either gender can be working at home? Should it be mothers or fathers talking to their sons? How will we get there? It's a solution-based episode. 01465-7190. Women, call me on that number. 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. We've got WhatsApp, 080-959-75805. 080-959-75805. We've got Facebook, where we're streaming live. So share your thoughts with us on Facebook as well. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. Nigeria Info 99.3. Hello, thank you very much for calling us.
Hello.
Good evening, thank you for calling. Hello.
Okay, yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, can you turn your radio off?
Okay, yes, I've done that.
I've got about 1 minute, 40 seconds for you.
Okay, well, I just think it's a cultural thing. But I think as everything is evolving, like with the new generation, teach people.
Okay.
It will be more acceptable for like the generation Y and X. We just grew up knowing from childhood, always knowing that your father was the one to fend for you and your mom was there to help. It's just now that the women are also coming up and saying, I mean, it's not only the man that can do it. So it will take a while. And like the caller said earlier, it's something that has to also be preached both from home to church, for everybody to know that the man can, because there are actually some dads that, even though they are the breadwinners, they are very good at zealous, like they take care of the children, they're also very good in that. But they don't do it like they're doing only that. They'll do that and they'll still bring for the home. So I think it's something that we just have to inculcate in our culture, maybe starting from the school curriculum to also start telling the girls to that, not only the man. Mm. Because for the generation X and Y, it used to be like, you're a woman, yes, you both do this, but I mean, somehow it can work out for you that a man, maybe a wealthy man will marry and take care of you and you're okay.
Mm. Okay, let's leave it at that because we have to take a break. When we come back, we'll take a few more calls. Don't go away, Lagos.
More talk, news and sports after this. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. It's 4:34. If we want to get to the glass ceiling's ideal world when it comes to breadwinning in marriage, who has to lead that campaign? Is it men or is it women? What should that campaign look like? Is it parents talking to their children and teaching them that either gender can be the breadwinner and either gender can be the one making less money or even the one working at home? Should it be mothers or fathers talking to their sons? Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. We've started this conversation months ago and we're talking about what happens when a woman is the breadwinner. And what we're doing on today's episode is taking a look at how we can create the ideal world. When we started this show, I told you that in an ideal world, either the husband or the wife can be the breadwinner and it would not be a big deal. Whichever one that is not the breadwinner would not feel less than. Their manhood or their womanhood will not be in question. Whichever one that is the breadwinner will not feel like they are a god. They will not lord it over their partner. In that ideal world, the rest of the society wouldn't pass judgment on a couple based on who is making more money or who is working outside the home or who is working in the home. People would respect their decisions and the situations of that family. Now, if we want to create that ideal world, what needs to change? Remember my caveat from the beginning of this show. If you call me to say, oh, men and women are not equal, I will end the call because we've moved past that. We're not debating that today. The opinion of the glass ceiling is that the ideal world is one where husbands and wives are equal. So if you call to debate that, you're taking us back. I'll move on. Today's episode is not about who is the head or who is the tail. If you call to debate that, you're taking us back, you're moving us back, and I'll move on. Today we're talking about how do we make the world more accepting of a situation where wives are breadwinners. We've been talking about this for what, 4 weeks now? This is the fourth week. So we've covered a lot of ground. If you want to catch up, though, you can check out our podcast. It's available on all streaming platforms, all the streaming platforms, Google, Apple, Anchor, it's there. Glass Ceiling with Sandra Ezekwesili. So you can listen again. How do we make the world more accepting of a situation where wives are the breadwinners? How do we make wives handle that role without demeaning and ridiculing the husband? How do we make husbands handle that situation without lashing out against their wives, finding fault in everything, letting their egos be shattered? How do we make society understand that this is not a thing to mock a man over? 99.3, hello? 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 Ah, sorry about that. Let's talk to somebody else. 99.3. Okay, we have a comment from Kayode David on Facebook. Kayode David says, afternoon, President Sandra. God bless you. I want to say this woman has money, more money than us, but the only problem I'm having is the family. When they are here, when they hear that our daughter is doing everything at home and the husband is not, that's where the problem comes from and the marriage will start having problem and it will end in another case. People should stop inviting their parents to their marriage. That's all I have to say for now. All right, Kayode, thank you very much. Kenneth is a first-time caller from Ikorodu. Kenneth, welcome.
Okay. Good evening, Sandra.
Good evening. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, last week when you discussing on this issue, would you believe that I was just discussing same thing with my younger daughter of 9 years old. I was discussing it, just telling her that, you know, there are times that things will not be okay in the home. Then I was having issue of, you know, my work and this thing, and my wife happens to be the one taking responsibility of what is happening. And I just called my daughter that come, there are times that the husband will not have anything at all.
Okay.
And, you know, you see that your wife, my wife, is the one taking care of the home.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you grow up, when you get, when you are married, and you see that your husband is not providing anything. Not that he doesn't have the will, but, you know, circumstances leads to the situation that, you know,
he
cannot
himself.
Provide.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see to it that, ah, no, he's the man of the house. He has to provide. If it's at your power, you provide so that, you know, two of you will live happily. Nobody will get to know that, ah, okay, because the man didn't bring chop money, so me too, I'm not bringing chop money. So until we inculcate that into our family, into the children, letting the children know that, yes, things may not be rosy for the husband, but the wife can take the place of the husband when things are not okay. But when things are not okay, yes, everybody, you know, contributes is on our own quarter, so that the family will move on fine. So that's the thing that we can inculcate, irrespective of whether you have a child that is a son or a daughter. When you begin to build that into that child, the child will get to know that when he gets married, yes, my husband, he has been providing before, but now things are, you know, not in the way that he ought to be. Let me support the husband. So people will not get to know that until the husband provides, the woman cannot provide. So that's the reason why the wife needs to have something doing so that she will be able to support the home, so that, you know, everybody will live happily. So that was my own contribution.
Kenneth, thank you so much. And my heart is so warm. Like, I have a big smile on my face. My heart is so warm. I'm lit up at the idea of you and your 9-year-old girl having this conversation, because I quite agree with you that that's where it starts. Godfrey is in Ikeja. He's a first-time caller as well. Godfrey, welcome.
Thank you very much, Sandra.
Welcome. Go ahead.
That's great. In this matter, right?
Can you turn your radio off?
Do you know a cripple?
Okay.
Hold on. A cripple. When you see a cripple, and you said, the load you are carrying is bent, it tells you you did not look at me well. There are foundational issues.
Okay.
When you look at a cripple, you know that there is no way it can carry something that will be straight.
Okay.
Foundational problem in the sense that your upbringing, you as a person, whether as a man or as a woman, matters a lot.
Okay.
We meet ourselves in marriage.
Okay.
We can turn the house to a home.
Okay.
If you as a man or as a woman cannot turn your house to a home, there are differences in the two. A place where there is no love, you don't have a home. You only live in a house.
Okay.
That is the truth. So there is nothing. And in marriage, there is no secret.
Okay.
Before you go into it, everything about your past, you offload it to your partner. It's not the one you hear outside and say, when they just tell you, say, okay, I understand. When I get home, I will see him or I will see her. Then you're already aware of the information. So what are you coming on to do? It's just to know the foolishness of men. Outsiders can never build a home for you.
Okay.
The marriage is strictly between you and that woman. When my wife came in, she's a professional caterer.
Okay.
But it was a battle dislodging me from the kitchen. It was a battle.
Okay.
Because all through my younger life, as a bachelor, I never eat outside one day.
Okay.
So the issue of domestic work, it's not even, it's not a challenge.
Okay.
But a home where boys are trained to see themselves as macho, you can't enter kitchen, you can't do this, you can't do that, things like this can happen. You are partners. When my wife is busy doing other things, you see me holding the children and taking care of them. Then when she's with the children, you see me in the kitchen, I clear the sink, I do other things. So who knows that I'm doing those things when I go out and I'm dressed up? Is it written on my forehead that I even help my wife to pound? So you see, marriage becomes sweet when the partners are genuinely and truly in love and they know why they are in the marriage. Anything outside that, may God help us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Godfrey, for calling. Okay, my heart is so full. I could cry, but I will not. We've got Ruben in Yaba. Hi, Ruben.
Yeah, good evening, ma'am.
Good evening.
Yeah, on the topic, the second voice note of the guy you played was very, very informative. It was a very, very good one.
Okay.
I believe that for marriage to work properly, I believe that the idea behind marriage is help me, I help you.
Okay.
When I'm weak, you're stronger. When I'm weak, you're stronger, and vice versa. I think the first thing is it begins with the wife. To what extent are you ready to help your husband in that point where he's going through that red zone? And also, another question to the husband: how willing are you also ready to be responsible to your wife, especially in the domestic space? So once you guys do this communication, because seriously, men go through it, and a lot of times we don't really talk about it that much, you know, like pressures from the outside. The man just has to, his responsibility. One of Jack Collier, as I said, what you said, he was talking about his philosophical part of it, right? The psychological part of it, making money, taking care of the wife, just making sure that money is available. Anyhow. The wife must eat, whether she's working or not. These pressures are there. Leading the home, not that easy for men. So, to what extent are you ready to assist your husband? And so, if you believe that your husband must do everything, whether you're working or where, make repair to Papa God, make it continue to make that money. Make that source of money, make it just the increase, make it no reduce at all, it just stay like that, so that you'll be okay. But as far as parenting is very dynamic now, you must be ready to help your husband. And also the husband should also be ready to help himself so that the family can be better. Thank you very much,
man. All right, Ruben, thank you very much for calling. It's interesting that Ruben shared those sentiments because, you know, since we started this series, a lot of women have called me, right? And a lot of the women who called me talked about what they've been going through in their marriage as breadwinners. They talked about what they went through in their marriage before they became breadwinners and after they became breadwinners. And they all seemed to say that the problem was coming from the husbands and their egos. I wish we had time. I would play you the phone calls of those women. One of the women who called me said that no matter how much respect she showed her husband, he felt threatened by the fact that she made more money, kept saying to everybody that she stole his destiny. Last week, Daniel, who said that the people who need to do this campaign are women, he also told me about his sister. His sister is a breadwinner. And he told me that his sister was not doing well. That whenever her and her husband quarrel, she will go and stay in a hotel the way some husbands do when they quarrel with their wives. And I remember that when he said that thing to me, something clicked. And I think I even said so on that call. Something clicked for me. Are some men afraid that women will base respect on finances
because men base respect on finances. You understand what I mean? Some men, they fear, say, women go base the level of respect they get for you based on how much money you get. Because them will be men. They base the level of respect they get for person based on how much money that person gets. And if that's the case, is the root cause of the problem that we base respect on finances? Is that the root cause? Because I keep thinking about Kenneth's 9-year-old daughter. If boys and girls were taught that making money does not make you the head of the house, would more men find it easier when their wives are the breadwinners? Or is the problem even deeper than that? I think this aspect of this conversation, we'll have to move it to next week Wednesday and then wrap up this particular series next week Wednesday. Does the problem come from the idea that there must be a head of the house? I'm asking that because if society had not taught us that there must be a head of the house and that the head must be a man, and also that the head of the house is the financial provider, would we be where we are? It's on a philosophy. If society had not taught us that there must be a head of the house and that the head of the house must be a man, and also that the head of the house is the financial provider, would we be where we are? Would we have men feeling like they were failures simply because they did not have the right to control their wives? Yet they understand that their wives shouldn't control them. How do we get to a point where more people stop seeing money as a reason to have more power than your spouse in a relationship? I don't care what the gender of the person is. How do we get people to leave behind the idea that there must be a head of house and instead consider cooperation and partnership with their spouse? Women, call me on 01465-7190, 01465-7190. All the conversations we have about equality, it starts in the family. If it's good between the husband and the wife, they can model that for their children. If you can model that for your children, we begin to see a society like the one I described when we started today's show. If I'm doing it in my house and Kemi is doing it in her house and Kenneth is doing it in his house and Ruben is doing it in his house and Godfrey is doing it in his house, all our houses are what make up society. All the children who come out from our houses are what will make up the larger society. So if we are lucky, our children get to grow up in a world where it wouldn't matter who was making money for the family. Where it wouldn't be a big deal. Where whoever the breadwinner is does not feel like a god. And whoever isn't breadwinning doesn't feel less than. Doesn't feel like their manhood or their womanhood is in question. Our last call is Ezekiel from Ekpe. Ezekiel, how are you?
Yeah, Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I will start with this quote. Well, it is said that when the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse becomes inevitable. Marriage now, precisely. You see, when we talk about love, in love, there is no superiority, and there is no emotional insecurity. The point is, if the man is engaged and the woman is engaged, or either of the two is engaged, there is any form of gap or lacuna, I believe the place where there is love, things should be well balanced. That is where mutual understanding and where love precisely exists. So for me, I conclude by saying love really matters in every relationship. And love covers it all. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ezekiel. Thank you so much for calling. Ezekiel Oladosu Olawi on Facebook says, it calls for understanding and tolerance of both parties. A wise woman will build her home, but the foolish who has ego and pride, third-party interference, lack of submission, etc. We should complement each other. Ezekiel, thank you very much for your comment on Facebook. I'm... You know, I don't want to engage that particular comment, because like I said, you're taking us back. We're not debating. Unfortunately, the caption on Facebook doesn't do justice to the conversation in the studio, right? So I'm not gonna get into that. Now let me see. Sandra, you are endeavoring to create a utopia. It requires a lot of work for women to take full responsibility and feel comfortable. The religions teach women to assist, but not to take full responsibility. We have to change the philosophy of marriage and partnership of cohabitation, where two become one without a head. So anyone can take responsibility depending on who is capable at any point in time. Love and understanding are essential to make this new philosophy possible. That's a message from Warile Efa. Warile Efa, thank you so much for your message. Yes, I am trying.